Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White.
Good morning, Kevin, and kind of happy new year. I don't think we've done a podcast.
That's right. We're back. We had a little bit of a holiday break there, and we're back in the saddle. And I've been getting some really neat comments from folks about this time, and they really appreciate your willingness to sit down and do this. And folks, your pastor is busy. For good reason. There are a lot of good things need to be done, but thank you for squeezing in a few minutes.
I don't think I'm any busier than anybody else, but it's a busy life that we live in this world, isn't it?
It is indeed.
It's a privilege to do this. It really is.
Well, at some point, as busy as we are, it's going to come to an end, and that's kind of the direction this person is going with their question. So they're actually asking this. What is the significance of the human body after death? The dead in Christ will rise first, they're quoting from Scripture there. Why would I want some connection to my old worn-out body in heaven? That's something I kind of wonder, too. And then they go on to say, if the body is in any way important, is cremation a problem for Christians?
Yeah, wow. There's a lot in that question, but first of all, let me... I'm going to just, what does God's word say on a number of things here? And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, first of all, what happens in death? That's what we're talking about. Yeah. And there is a division of body, flesh, the material flesh, and soul. The Bible talks about the heart, the soul, the spirit, of a person, and I think all of that is describing, it's just kind of many ways of describing that one thing that we are, that life in us given by God. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we read that Paul's talking about we're of good courage, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. But interesting, and then he said, actually, verse 6, and while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So obviously Christ is in the presence of the Father, right hand of the Father, and we are not there in his presence physically beholding Christ. But when we die, there's a separation, and our body deteriorates. In a grave, we'll get to that in a moment, but our spirit is in the presence of Christ, home with him. And so when Christ returns, what happens?
Yeah. Dead in Christ will rise first.
Dead in Christ will rise first.
What does that mean?
So, yeah, and that comes out of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And I won't read all of this, but Paul talks about, we declare to you by word from the Lord that we who are alive and left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So in the dead in Christ, they're never referred to as the dead. They're always referred to as those who are asleep. You wake up when you're when you're mm-hmm. sleeping. That's the hope there. And we will wake up. And what are we going to wake up to? Well, we read this this is a verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Mm-hmm. Well, what's that? Well, that is the spirits of the redeemed, the righteous, the saints, God's people. Jesus is going to bring them with him when he returns. So, wow, what a huge company that's going to be. But then we keep reading a little bit deeper. Verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wait a minute. I thought they were coming with. Those who had fallen asleep were coming with. Well, they are. Their spirits are coming. But now the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and left will be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the idea here is, okay, what's happening? Well, Jesus brings with him the spirits, the souls of the saints, and this resurrection then is the resurrection of a new body. This is not the old body. This old body of ours is we're not going to deal with this forever and ever in its weakened state. 2 Peter 3, and I won't take time to read this, but 2 Peter 3 at the end talks about we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that righteousness is the perfect righteousness of God, in which there is no decay, there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no weakness. It's something entirely different, and yet it's still physical. And that's where we see in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is, he writes a little bit about this, and this is verse 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And that's not just for nursery care workers in the church that those diapers change. No, that's speaking of our eternal state here. And we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body, that's what we've got now, this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. And so that's what's coming. Now, what's that body going to be like?
Yeah.
That's the mystery. We have a little bit of a window into that with Jesus' resurrected body. I mean, he passed through walls and doors, you know, and he was there and then he wasn't there. And then he ascended into heaven. You know, obviously there was a vertical rise, you know, wherever he was received in heaven. However that happened, he still rose vertically. He wasn't screaming, you know, he wasn't afraid of heights or something. So all fear is gone. All weakness is gone. The threat that is always on us because we are perishable, all of that is going to be gone. And yet it's going to be a physical body. To be human is to be both physical, material being and spiritual being. And in Christ, what he has done in conquering the grave and the reason he came up out of the grave physically was to redeem all things, to redeem us, our physical bodies as well as our spiritual state before the Lord. And so in eternity, we're going to be physical creatures in a physical world. What are we going to be able to do? I don't know. It's going to be awesome, I think. And so I'm very much looking forward to my resurrection body, which will not be hampered by, certainly by sin anymore, nor by weakness, sickness, illness, pain, those things. So that's what we're looking forward to. So no, we're not going to be, you know, why would we want our old bodies? I don't think anybody would. That's absolutely on point. But we're not going to have those old bodies. I do think we'll recognize one another. We're going to know who we are, what that looks like. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about the shiny people and we're going to radiate the glory of the Lord. You think of Moses when he was exposed to the glory of God and his face shone. So we're going to have flesh that reflects the glory of God. And the true beauty of the righteousness of Jesus will be reflected in our physical flesh as well as in our spirits. So that's going to be pretty amazing when that happens. And yet we will recognize one another. And I think there will be memory of who we were in this world. And we'll just fall in just profound humility and grace and gratitude before God for this awesome redemption of what he's brought us out of and what he's brought us into. So that's, I think, what's before us. So yesterday at Chuck Thomas's graveside at the VA cemetery, I read this passage from 1 Thessalonians, and I commented. I said, you know, someday, you know, we look out on all these graves, and it's a very still, quiet place. It's the place of the dead, but someday it's going to be a very lively place for those who know Jesus. They will come up; their bodies will come up out of these graves. And they will they will be presented before the Lord. Their souls will be united with those bodies, and we will forever be with the Lord. So that's our great hope of the resurrection to eternal life of a physical, spiritual being. Wow. So what about cremation? Yeah. And I just want to say on the front end, there are well-meaning Christians on both sides of this. Should you commit a body to the grave? Should you, do cremation? We do show honor to the body. We're unique in all creation in that we bury our dead. We don't just leave rotting corpses on the side of the road to be eaten by vultures or something. But there's a respect for the human being, and that respect continues even in their death, where we honor our dead, we love those that we've known in this life who are down dead, and so we do care for the body. We're not reckless there, but in our Christian thinking, what is proper care of the body in death? Well, there's no funeral ritual that's laid out in Scripture. We see what some of the saints did with bodies. A lot of times they put them in caves. We put them in the ground, but Abraham put his wife Sarah in a cave, and so did the other patriarchs. Jesus was put in; he was wrapped in cloth and 80 to 100 pounds of spices packed around, and he was put in a cave. We don't do that, but that's how Jesus was buried. But I think at the end of the day, there's freedom for us. Not everything in culture is wrong or bad. And funeral rites of culture, of various cultures, I want to be careful that we not consign everything as evil and wrong. I'm sure that there are things, mutilations or things like that. I think that's just weird. And how do we honor the body, which is a gift of God, and giving thanks for the body, but also in hope that death is not the final word here. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a resurrection of this body. And so, for us, the two main ways of dealing with a body and death are, one, grave, put it in a grave, where it will go from earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It will decompose on its own. The other is cremation, which kind of speeds up. We'll move right to the, dust to dust. Mm-hmm. And I know some have said, well, the burning of a body in the crematorium, that smacks more of hell. Fire is a judgment, and why would you want to have that as an image of the body, putting it into the fires that burn it and consume it? I hear that, but death and judgment is also evidenced by decay. The wages of sin is death. And so any body that's died is revealing the judgment of God, and in which we still live under. Our sins are forgiven in Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, but we still die. Mm. And even laying a body in the ground is, death is won in the moment. So it looks, and that it decays, that is all about death and judgment, and in a way, it's a shadow of hell. So I don't want to say somebody's wrong for cremating or for not cremating. And I really think it's a personal choice that you've got to be settled with. And I think there is freedom before God. I think the key there is whether we let the body just naturally decompose in a grave, or whether we speed that process up and move right to dust and the scattering of ashes. I think we still want to, in every funeral, we want to be mindful that that death is not the final word here. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and he is able to recreate out of dust that's blown to the far corners of the earth. He's able to recreate a human body, and he will. You know, you think of if you got to have something there, a little pile of ashes. Well, you know, think about if there was a Christian during the explosion of a nuclear weapon, and they're immediately vaporized. You know, there's nothing there. There's not even dust. So what do we say about that? You know, if there was a Christian who was vaporized, are they lost? Well, no. God is able. I mean, this is the miracle of resurrection. And he is able and he will reconstitute a new human body for us. And our spirit will be, will indwell that body. And we will be fully human in a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness completely dwells. So I, you know, the one who's wrestling with that, I think you've just got to be convinced in your own mind before God, whether cremation or burial. And I have two funerals this week, within a week, and one's a burial and one's going to be a cremation. And so that's, yeah, I work with both families, and I think it's very appropriate either way to choose.
Well, and those are serious questions and are worth taking seriously. So thank you for doing that. Will you pray for us?
I will. Father, we thank you that our flesh is precious to you. Lord, the body matters. And even in death, Lord, that we honor this temple that you've given us. And Lord, thank you that there is a new body coming, a heavenly body, and we don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but it's going to be so much far superior to these human bodies now. And as much as we love our flesh, we love this material world, Lord, thank you for what is coming and what will be fully redeemed and made glorious in your presence. And Lord, as we wrestle with those thoughts of what to do with our bodies in death, Lord, give us wisdom, and may we in death and even in our own funerals somehow leave to those who are behind us a testimony that Jesus Christ is our life, and in him we will be seen again, and that is our great hope. And so we thank you for it, Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Amen.